Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Sometimes people have to admit they're guilty. Like, can't deny it, you have to admit you're guilty. There's a guy named Milton Hodges. He tried to rob a Lowe's. The robbery went bad. Police gave chase. He ran, jumped a fence, and landed right in the Cypress Grove nudist resort and spa. It was not hard for the police to find him. He was the only one wearing clothes. Guilty, right? Just guilty. There's a man in Beaver Creek, Ohio, tried to rob a bank. He was nervous. First bank robbery ever he had done. And so, as he's robbing the bank, he fainted. The teller calls 911, says, "We have a bank robbery. Send an ambulance." "Do you mean a police car?" "No, an ambulance." He fainted. And guilty, right? He's guilty. There was another one where a police showed up at a 12-year-old's house. He had been accused of stealing an iPhone, adamantly denied that he stole the iPhone. And so the police called the iPhone's number, and the phone started ringing in the kid's closet. They said, "Did you also steal that BlackBerry?" He said, "No, not me." They called that number. Phone starts ringing in the closet. Guilty. Sometimes people just have to admit they're guilty. Most of the time, that's not us. We can deny being guilty. We can deny feeling guilty. Not only deny it to other people, but even more, I think, deny it to ourselves. Just try to go on living life like everything's fine and I don't feel guilty over what I've done. But in our more honest moments, I think we see it, right? We have guilt over things we've done, and we realize we need forgiveness. Have you ever felt that need to be forgiven? Maybe if you're honest, you're like, "I feel it right now. There's something I've done, something in my past, and I don't feel forgiven. I need to feel that." It could be that what you did and still feel guilty over, maybe you feel like it's almost ruined your life. Like, you don't just need to be forgiven. You need like a second chance at life. You need a new life. Maybe what you need is to be saved by God's butt. That is the new teaching series we're in right now, Saved by God's Butt. We're looking at verses in the Bible that have this phrase, "but God." These verses seem to come at the perfect time. It's like, there's trouble, there's a problem, there seems to be no way out, but God. So what about this problem that we have with guilt, with needing to be forgiven, needing to feel forgiven? Well, there's only one solution, I think, and it's but God. But there's a time in the Bible where we see a guy who needs to be forgiven. We're going to put all the Bible verses on the screen for you today, so you can read them up there. And if you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, we give them out for free. We would love to give you one of those. So Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 5, says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus forgives this man's sins, which is exactly what I need. It's what you need. We need not only to feel forgiven, we need to actually be forgiven, because we don't just feel guilty, we are guilty. Right? We've all done things we knew were wrong. We've all gone against what God wants for us. We need to be forgiven. And as the last line there of that passage says, who can forgive sins but God alone? Only God can forgive our sins. Now, you may wonder, yeah, but why would he want to? Why would he want to? I mean, because, like, I sinned. I did something horrible. I sinned against him. I've rebelled against him. But, like, why would he want to forgive my sins? The Bible answers that question in the book of Romans, chapter 5, starting in verse 6. It says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So here's the deal with this. Like, in this world, we are loved conditionally. That's the kind of love that we can receive from other people. It's conditional love. You just can't get pure, unconditional love. You might find someone in this life who will love you when you're not at your best. But can you find somebody to love you when you're at your worst? Like, what about if you sin directly against that person? Will they still love you? What if you tell that person you don't want them and you don't want to be loved by them? Well, then you're not going to get love in return. Because in this world, we are loved conditionally. But I think what we yearn for is unconditional love. And that is exactly what God offers us. That's the idea of these verses we just looked at. They're saying, listen, let's just be honest. You are ungodly. Right? You were not living the life that God has for you. You were not living your life for God. You were sinning against him, but God loved you anyway. He loves you unconditionally, so much so that when you were at your worst, before you had a chance to change or clean up your life, Jesus died for you. When you were at your worst, Jesus did the worst thing that he could do. He died for you. Why? Because of love. There's an old song, maybe if you've been around church a long time, maybe you used to hear it. When my daughter was like 2, 3, 4 years old, every night I would put her in bed. And before I put her in bed, I would hold her and I would sing this song to her. I would sing, "Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves Marissa." That's not the original words. "Oh, how he loves Daddy. Oh, how he loves you and me." There's nothing more he could do. Like, what else could he do? He no greater sacrifice. Jesus went to the cross and he took your sins and the sins of the world on himself and he died. Right? That's how much God loves you. He died for you when you were at your worst. Why did he die? The Bible says it this way in 1 Peter 3:18. It said, "Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous," that's Jesus, "for the unrighteous," that's us, "to," here's why, "bring you to God." To bring you to God. It's like Jesus died to bring us to God. God loves you, okay? He created you in love and for love. He created you for a relationship with him, but we have sinned. Our sin creates this gulf between us and God, but God still loves us. And so Jesus came and with his cross, he bridged that gulf and he died to bring us over to God, to restore us into a relationship with God. One question you might ask is, but why death? Like, why was death necessary? That's another great but verse in the Bible. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 21, says, "What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So this is saying, think about the things you did in the past that you now feel guilty about. And those things seemed like a good idea at the time, and they felt good in that moment, but now we're ashamed of what we've done. Well, guess what? It's saying it's not just that you feel guilty. Those things actually make you guilty, and they result in death. That last sentence of what we just looked at, Romans 6:23 again, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so it says the wages of sin. What's a wage? It's something you deserve, right? It's something you earn through what you do. And what we deserve, what we've earned through our sinning is death. So the word death literally means separation. We don't think that because we've come to associate the word death with what happens when a person falls over and they don't breathe anymore and their brain doesn't work anymore and you can't wake them up. That's death. And we think of death as like the ending, right? Death is like when you lose life. That's not what the word death means. The reason they chose the word death way back when is because the word death means separation, and people used to believe that when a person stops breathing and you can't wake them up anymore, they weren't ending. That was not the end of life. That was when your soul separated from your body. And so they called it death because death means separation. It means to be separated. These verses say that because we have sinned, we deserve death. We are separated from God. And really, that makes sense. Remember, God created us in love, for relationship with Him. But when we sin, what we're doing is we're saying, nah, I don't want, God, I don't want to live life your way. I don't want to do what you want me to do. I want to be my own boss. I want to do life my own way. I don't want it. And God honors our free will choice. He grants our wish. Sin separates us from Him. And so our sin is a big problem. It's a big problem for us. But then the verse says, but God, right? It says, but the gift of God. What's a gift? A gift is something you don't deserve, right? It's something that you don't earn. Someone gives you a gift because they love you, right? That's why, right? So God has offered you a gift to save you from your sin. That's the gift, right? This gift of, we could say salvation, just because He loves you. Just because He loves you. We have a lot of trouble wrapping ourselves around that idea because we are used to earning. We live in a world that it's all about earning, right? Like growing up, you earn your grades. And then as you get older, you earn your paycheck. It's all about earning. People do not give us big free gifts just because of love, right? Like you never had a teacher say, kids, everyone failed this test. And so, pizza party, right? Like that never happened in school, right? A policeman does not pull you over and say, do you know how fast you were going? You were speeding, and what you're gonna get is a big hug. Bring it in here, right? That doesn't happen, right? Your boss doesn't say, do you realize this is the sixth month in a row that you are the lowest in sales of everyone? And because of this, you are getting a trip to Tahiti, right? Like, no, that doesn't happen. People don't give us big free gifts just because they love us. And so we have this earn it mentality. And what happens is we take that earn it mentality right into a relationship with God where it doesn't belong. I've seen this with so many people. So they kind of run through life afraid that if they don't do enough, if they don't meet some, you know, certain expected standard that God has, if they don't meet some sort of spiritual quota, well, God might take away their salvation. That's not the way it works. Salvation is not something you earn. God gives it as a free gift. Jesus died because you and I have sinned. And Jesus' death can take away our sin. We deserve death for our sin, but God allowed Jesus' death to absorb our sin as a substitute for our death. If we accept God's gift, God takes all of our sin, He puts it on Jesus on the cross. It's gone from us. What that means is we can feel forgiven. We can feel forgiven for whatever it is that we did. We can feel forgiven because we actually are forgiven. It also means that you can forgive yourself. I mean, if God is willing to forgive you for what you've done, you can forgive you for what you've done. And you need to know that if you have truly and authentically accepted God's free gift of salvation in the way that He asks you to, there is not a day coming up in the future where you're going to stand before God scared and afraid, wondering, did I do enough to earn it? Because you don't earn it. You can't earn it. That's not the way it works. It's just a gift. What do you do with a gift? How do you get a gift? You accept it, right? You receive it. Like somebody offers you a gift and you say, no thanks, I reject your gift. But all you have to do is to say, yes, I receive, I accept your gift. So how do you accept this gift of salvation, of saving you from your sins that God offers? Jesus made it real simple in Mark 16:16. He said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. You believe and you're baptized. So you believe. You accept the fact that there really is a God. Jesus was really God's son, come to earth to live for us, and he lived a sinless life. He died on a cross. Somehow God allows his death to substitute for mine and take my sins. So Jesus died for my sins. He takes my sins. And then Jesus, 3 days later, rose from the dead. I believe that. And that one day Jesus is going to come again to bring us to be with him forever. You believe that, but it's not just intellectual assent. There's also an element of believing that's trust. Like when I say I'm believing, it's like saying I am trusting God with my life. I'm trusting God with my everyday life, that he's going to lead me through it. I need him to lead me through it. And I'm trusting him with my eternal life. Right? You believe, and then you're baptized. Jesus said, if you want to be saved, believe and be baptized. So the Bible says that God wants you to be baptized. There's a time in the book of Acts where this guy named Peter, he's one of the original followers of Jesus, he's preaching to this big crowd, kind of this kind of a message. He's saying, hey, you've sinned. Jesus died for your sins. We caused Jesus' death. And then somebody in the crowd yells out because they believe. They say, what should we do now? I believe. Like, what do I do? And here's Peter's answer. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent means to turn around. And so the idea is like turn from your old life to God. Turn from your sin to God. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And so the Bible says that if you want God to forgive your sins, be baptized. The Bible also says in Romans chapter 6 that in baptism we are united with Christ. It's like our relationship becomes official and forever, which is why God chose baptism. In baptism, what you see is a person is lowered underwater and then a person is raised out of water. And when we're lowered underwater, it looks like we're being buried. That unites us with Christ's death. When we're raised out, it looks like we're leaving the grave, which unites us with Christ's resurrection. Next Sunday and Monday, we're doing baptisms. And man, this is your chance to say yes to God's offer of this free gift that he wants for you. And if you have never been baptized by your choice, not your parents, not somebody, your choice, why don't you do it next week? Why don't you make next Sunday or Monday your day? It's your chance to say, God, thank you for loving me. I love you too. And thank you for Jesus coming and dying for me. I accept what he did on the cross. And I want a relationship with you, God. And so I accept this gift that you're offering. God wants you to believe and be baptized. He wants you to say yes because he loves you. Like he wants to forgive you. He wants you to be free. And he wants to live your life in relationship with you. And he wants something else too. He wants to give you life. Back in that verse we were looking at, Romans 6:23, it said, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, when you hear eternal life, you might think, oh, that's heaven, right? That's what happens after we die. That's heaven. Yes. But it's actually more than that. When the Bible talks about eternal life, it's not just about quantity. It's not just about time, like later and forever life. It's also about quality. And so the Bible would say eternal life starts the moment you accept the gift that God has given you, because you enter into a new life, a different, better kind of life. It's a life that God wants to help you live here and now. Now, I want to show you one more but God verse. To set it up, the verse that kind of precedes it is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. So this is saying, because of our sin, it's not just that you are separated from God, but there is a very real sense in which you are separated from life. Like, yeah, you were still alive, but you were living a less than life because you were living without God, because your sin separated you from him. And so there's a sense in which you weren't really living. But, next verse to say, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Do you get what that's saying? It says God is rich in mercy, which means he wants to forgive you. Like he wants to. Why does he want to? It says because he loved us so much. And it said all of this is by grace. The word grace means to get the opposite of what you deserve. It's like we have screwed up and we are messed up, but it doesn't really matter because of grace. It's because of grace that Jesus came. Why did Jesus come? According to these verses, Jesus did not come to make bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people alive. That's what that said. The idea is that a dead person can come back to life. God demonstrated that literally, physically, when he raised Jesus from the dead, but God wants to do the same thing in your life. See, becoming a Christian is not about God making a bad person good. It's about God making a dead person alive. If you were to describe me when I was 20 years old, if you knew me and someone said, describe Vince in one word, and you said, dead, that would have been a really good choice. I was alive, but I was dead. I was dead emotionally. I was kind of dead relationally. I was dead spiritually. But I found God, or God found me, and I said yes to this offer, to his free gift. I believed, and I was baptized. And ever since, it's like he's resurrecting me from the dead. Like before that, completely different. It's like I'm able to experience love and give love in a way that I could not before. I have peace and joy in a way that I did not before. It's like he's making me alive and giving me new life. And God wants to resurrect you emotionally, spiritually, relationally. To encourage you, I should tell you, because maybe you're like, I did, just like you, Vince, I said yes. I accepted the gift a while back. Let me tell you this. It doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't happen all at once. So that verse in Ephesians, the last word was saved. It says, it is by grace you have been saved, right? Saved. All right, I'm going to apologize up front. I'm about to go into full nerd here, okay? We're going to get geeky for a minute. My mother was an English teacher. This has been inbred into me. So in the original language the Bible is written in, that word saved, which is a verb, is written in the perfect tense. I don't know if you remember back in school, but you learned about verbs, that there are past tense, present tense, future tense, and perfect tense. Past tense is when you're speaking about something that happened. He ran. Present tense is when you're speaking about something that's happening right now. He's running. Future tense, I don't know where that came from. Future tense is when it's something that's going to happen in the future. He's going to run. Perfect tense is something that happened in the past, is still happening today, and will continue to happen in the future. You use perfect tense if you want to draw attention to the fact that something started before, but it's still happening now, and it's not going to stop. Saved in Ephesians 2, and it says, because of grace you have been saved, is written in the perfect tense. How cool is that? The idea is that if you said yes to God's offer, you were saved from death, from being separated from God in the past, but the effect of that is still happening today and will be continuing in the future. The impact of being saved does not necessarily happen all at once. God will continually be doing his resurrecting work in your life until finally, one day in heaven, it's complete. What that means is never again should you feel defeated. Never again should you feel like giving up hope. Never again should you just be like, I'm done. Listen, you might have gotten saved a while back, And maybe you're confused because, like, there's still parts of my life that feel dead. There's still parts of my life that aren't what I want them to be. You don't lose hope because God is perfect. His love for you is perfect, and he saved you in perfect tense. That means he's not done saving you yet. He didn't save you and say, good luck. He's still saving you. God is still bringing life out of death in your life. Isn't that encouraging? Right, man, that is encouraging. So Jesus died and he absorbed our sins and he absorbed our death on the cross. And then he defeated death when he walked out of the grave. And listen, that same resurrection from the dead kind of power is available to you. One more verse. Let's look at this one. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. It says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Let's read that again. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. So this is saying, listen, the same exact power that God used to raise Jesus from death, physical death, to life is available to you, right? This is an incredibly great power. And if you have said yes to God's offer, it's available and at work in your life. So if you feel dead in some area of your life, you don't need to stay dead because resurrection power is available to you. And this is huge, right? It's huge. Now, one question people sometimes will ask is they'll say, okay, I hear you. But, man, I don't get it because, like, if I have that kind of power, why don't I feel like I have that kind of power? Because I said yes. I did, just like you. And so you're saying I've got this power. I don't feel it. Like, I don't think I do. That's a good question. What's the problem there? The problem is to access that resurrection from the dead power, you have to plug into that resurrection from the dead power. Just like everything else that needs power, right? Like if you bought a lamp, put it in the middle of your living room, call the storm, like, I don't think this lamp works, right? The question might be, did you plug it in, right? You got to plug it in. It's not that God's power is just there and goes to work. You have to plug into it. It's kind of like this. Any of you guys have one of these at home, an electric knife? And so maybe you get this out at Thanksgiving time. And the thing with this is it's got a knife blade, and so you can just use it like a regular knife, right? Like you can just at Thanksgiving just start sawing into your turkey, or you could get out a steak and start sawing into your steak. That's a lot of work and not very effective. But because this is an electric knife, it has another source of power available to it. And so if you plug it in, all of a sudden it has a new source of power, which makes it far less work and far more powerful, right? Like to cut through a turkey, you do this. Right, that's it. You don't do this, you don't work, you just cut right through it. Like this thing is so powerful, it can cut through a bone. I need a volunteer real quick. I like that you raise your hand to get your bone cut through. That's awesome. Right? So, listen, God wants, he loves you so much, and he wants you to live this new, better life. And so he has given you the power to live a new, better life. But you have to plug into it. How do you plug in? Right? Okay, obvious question. How do you plug into it? Here's the deal. Every time you show up for church and you sit in this room and this happens, you're plugging into power. Every time you get up a little early and you get out your Bible and you read the Bible and you really, like, God, speak to me. I want to learn about you, God. You're plugging into power. Every time you pray, not rub-a-dub-dub, God, thanks for the grub, but like you really, like, you pray from your heart authentically. you're plugging into power. Every time you serve someone in Jesus' name, you might say, I do that for other people. Yeah, you do it for other people. Trust me, there's something that happens inside of you. That's what the Bible says. Every time you give sacrificially, you might be like, no, I give to support the church. It does, God says that it does something in your heart. It gives you power. Every time you sing to God, not like the band starts playing, you kind of stand there and or you just kind of mouth the words, but you're real, from your heart, you're singing to God. You're plugging into power. Every single time that you go to a Verve group and you have a conversation about what does it look like to live our lives with God and follow Jesus, and people support you and you get open and you share with them and they encourage you, you are plugging into power. You all of a sudden, you have this new source of power at work in your life, and you'll feel it. Now, this is probably so obvious, I don't need to say it, but what all this means is also true is when you decide not to come to church. Been a long week, you got a lot going on, I get it. And you're like, man, maybe not this week. You're deciding not to plug into power. Every time you don't get up a little early and read your Bible, you're deciding not to plug into power. When you don't pray, when you don't serve, when you don't give, when you don't get into a group, or you just decide not to keep going to your group, you are choosing to not plug into power. What that means is you are making a decision, whether you think it out or not, you just are, I'm going to try to do my life in my power, not in God's power. I'm not going to plug in. I don't know every single one of you very well, but what I have found in my life is I cannot live the life that God wants me to live, the life that I want to live in my power. Like, I have tried. It is demonstrably true that I can. It's like a blooper reel. Every time that I'm like, I'm not going to go to church, I'm not going to pray, I'm not going to read the Bible, it's like I start failing at living the life I want to live. I have learned I cannot live my life in my power, not the way I want to, not the way God wants me to, not the new life he has for me. And I don't know you, but I very much assume that you are the same as me. You can't live this life in your power. Okay, so God wants to forgive you. He wants to give you new life, and he wants to give you the power to live this new life. But it all starts by saying yes. It all starts with saying yes. We've all sinned. That's why we all struggle with guilt. We need to get past it. We need to be forgiven. We need to feel forgiven. God loves you so much, and he is offering to forgive all of your sins so you can feel forgiven and to have a relationship with you, and you don't have to earn it. You can't earn it. All you need to do is say yes and accept this free gift that God wants you to take. How? Jesus said, Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. You believe and you're baptized. If you've never believed, like maybe you're like, I kind of do, I've always kind of believed in God and kind of believed in Jesus, but never believed in a way that you're like, okay, I'm putting my faith in Jesus to take my sins away, to forgive me, to get me through my life and to get me into heaven. If you've never believed, maybe you're ready today. Maybe you're like, you know what? I didn't really understand it, but like I get it. Like the way I get it today. Maybe you're ready to put your faith in Jesus. Maybe you're not. That's okay. I understand. And there's no pressure here. Maybe you're not, but you have some questions. Perhaps we could have a conversation because I bet that there are answers for all the questions that you have. And I'd love to talk. Lots of people would love to talk. Maybe you have believed or maybe you're believing today for the first time, but you've never been baptized. Jesus says, when you believe, you don't like, I believe and someday I'm going to get baptized when I earn it. No, they go together. You believe and you're baptized. And like I said, we're doing baptisms next Sunday and Monday. Why don't you make that your day? If you believe and you've never been baptized or it wasn't your choice to get baptized, why don't you say, you know what? I'm doing it. Next Sunday, next Monday is my day. And if that's you, you can sign up at the Velcro Bar after service and we'll hook you up with that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna pray, and I'm in this prayer, I'm going to say yes to God and his offer, and maybe today you're ready to make that your prayer, or maybe you'll pray this prayer again. Let's pray. God, thank you so much, and it's so hard for me to understand that I could have sinned in all the ways I've sinned and done all the things I've done, and you have never stopped loving me. And you love me with this perfect love. It's hard for me to believe, but I believe it. God, I don't know why Jesus would want to come and die for someone like me, but you did. Thank you, and I accept it. And I accept that Jesus' death can take my sins. And God, I need to be forgiven. God, I want to have a relationship with you. Thank you for loving me and offering me your love. And God, I want to live a new life. I want that. God, would you give me that new life? And God, thank you for wanting to empower me to live it. Would you help me to build consistent habits into my life where I am plugging into your power so I can start to live a new, better kind of life? Thank you so much, God. I say yes. I accept this gift you're offering to me, and I thank you, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen.